Well, hello, my friends. It's wonderful to be with you again today. This is Dion Foster, and you're listening to the program The Ministry on Me on Radio Pulpit, your companion in the search for meaning. And it's always great to have these half hours together where we can reflect on Scripture and God's Word and God's will and intention. And of course, the purpose of this program very particularly is to help you as a Christian to find ways in which you can honor and bless God in everything that you do. And we emphasize particularly on this program, The Ministry and Me, that every part of what we are and who we are and what we have can be used as a gift and a blessing to God and a gift and a blessing to this world that God loves so much. And we must never forget that God has a very, very particular will and intention for our lives. Where you are today, don't underestimate that God desires something very, very special for that situation, for the people amongst whom you are. God desires something special for your life, for your family, for your community. And the good news is that God trusts you enough to be used by Him to bring it about. Well, over the last number of weeks, we've been journeying through a series in the book of Revelation, and we've been looking at the seven churches of Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And today we're going to look at the last of the seven churches, the church at Laodicea. Now, before we get to that, just to say to you, if at any stage during the program you want to give someone a call, maybe to have someone pray with you, or if you're looking just to speak to someone about something, you can always phone the Radio Pulpit prayer and counseling line. And grab a pen quickly and you can write it down, and I'll give you my email address as well. But just to mention, the Radio Pulpit prayer and counseling line is on the Pretoria dialing code, and the number is 012-334-1200. So that's Pretoria, 012-334-1200. And of course, you just need to select the option for prayer and counseling. And then to mention, I always love to hear from you, and it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful when listeners send me a line on email and just say, "Hi, Dion, I listened to a show and the Lord blessed me or spurred me on to do something, or I'd like to ask a question about something." And I always try and answer those emails as soon as I get them. Sometimes if I'm traveling, it's not possible right away, but be assured, I will answer your email if you send me a note, and I'm always happy just to hear from you. And if you have a particular prayer request, please feel free to send it through to me, and I'll add it to my prayer list gladly, and pray that the Lord will intervene in your particular situation or bless you in some particular way or use you. So you can reach me at digitaldion@gmail.com. That's digitaldion. At gmail.com. Digital Dion, Dion with an I, at gmail.com. Now, today we are looking at the last of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, and I want to read to you just a short passage from Revelation chapter 3, from verses 14 to 22. And then we're going to see how this applies to your life and mine. And remember, we are talking here about being in ministry where we are. So, Jesus says to John in the book of Revelation, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the So Be It, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you from my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing,' but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, so that you can become truly rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can truly see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, that particular passage is so filled with many, many wonderful and blessed promises, but it's also filled with that tone of rebuke. Did you pick that up? Now, it's important to recognize that Jesus loves us enough to be truthful with us, and that's the tone of the message to the church at Laodicea. You know, I have often had friends and acquaintances who have been what in Afrikaans we call a ja-broer, someone who just says yes to everything that you say. Now, those people can be wonderfully affirming, but they're not very helpful if you're wanting to discover and live out the truth. And you know, the wonderful thing about Jesus is that Jesus loves us enough to not let us continue to live in sin and brokenness and emptiness. If he can see something that's robbing us of life, or if he can see a situation that we're moving into that is not for our good or the good of those around us whom he loves, Jesus will be honest and truthful enough to speak to us about it. And of course, that's what he did with this church at Laodicea. Now, let me tell you one or two things about this church. This particular city was a very noteworthy city. It was used as a fortress, and it was about 10 kilometers away from a natural spring where water would flow in. So they could batten up the hatches and withstand an attack because they had water flowing into the city. It was also a very wealthy banking city. In fact, it was so wealthy that after the city was destroyed by an earthquake in AD 61, the wealthy citizens of the city rebuilt it with their own funds, and they refused any financial assistance from the Roman governor. It was also a center of clothing manufacture, and this was a place filled with wonderful sheep, and the outer garments that were produced there called Tramitia were wonderful, wonderful, proud garments, and everybody wanted to own them, almost like a designer label of the time. It was also a center that was well known as a medical center. Because of the hot springs that were nearby, they produced a famous ointment that did two things. It cured the eyes and the ears. And they were so convinced of their skill in healing the eyes and the ears that they had lost sight of just how truly blind they had become. Now, think about this for a moment. This was a city that had every opportunity and every reason to claim success. It was wealthy, it was strong, it had natural resources, and it had citizens who were well. Do you know, Paul often cautions us when we think about our own lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Listen to this caution. He says, "If you think that you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." Now, there is so much truth in that statement. I often see it in myself and see it in others, that I build up such a sense of self-reliance about what I am and what I have and what I can do and where I am in life, that I forget that there is another measure entirely by which we live our lives. You see, God is not impressed with wealth or material possessions or clothing. God is impressed by character. And this was the one thing that the church at Laodicea was missing. These were people who thought that they were too worthy, and that was their mistake. Now, let's see what we can learn about ourselves and our lives and where we are in our work life, our family life, and our ministry in relation to the church at Laodicea. The first question that we need to ask is the question of what our use is. What is our purpose and our use in life? You see, this was the first and most prominent problem that the Christians in the church of Laodicea fell prey to, and that was that they had lost their true and godly purpose. We read about this problem in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. And we must remember that when Jesus speaks to us, he'll often use our frame of reference to help us understand our problem. And so here he speaks to the church in Laodicea in a way that is clear, a way that they'll be able to identify with him. Now, he tells them that they have one huge problem, and their problem was their water supply. You see, this city was founded on a very strategic trading pass, and it was decided to place it here because of the power and authority it could have in people passing by on the route. However, the choice of locating the city meant that it had to get its water from a source that was more than 10 kilometers away. Now, water in those days wasn't piped in via a clean and useful metal pipe system. It was run along stone-carved aqueducts, sometimes covered and sometimes exposed. And so often in summer when the water reached the city, it wasn't fit for consumption. It couldn't be used for what it was intended. And so it had been heated by the sun, and it was lukewarm, and it couldn't quench the thirst. Now Jesus comments in their frame of reference, and he reprimands them for being neither hot nor cold. Now, the emphasis on hot, why would Jesus want them to be hot? Well, because hot water in those days was used for healing. Now, the word which is used for hot here is the Greek word zestos, which means boiling hot. And Hierapolis, which was the temple and medical center nearby the city, was well known for its boiling water that had healing qualities. So people with arthritis and other things, almost like warm baths in South Africa, would go to a place like that for healing. And as they got into the hot water, it was soothing and comforting because it was boiling and it had a very, very clear purpose. It was warm enough to bring comfort and healing. But Jesus also reprimands them because they're not cold enough. So they're not hot enough, but they're also not cold enough. Now, why cold? Because, friends, this was meant to be, cold water was meant for refreshing. And so next Jesus speaks to them about the cold. And the exact meaning of the word here is notable. The Greek word which is used here is the word psuchros, which literally means freezing cold. It's cold not in a negative sense, like I'm feeling chilly. It's cold in a very positive sense. It says, this is cold. It's like having a cold Coca-Cola, a cool drink on a very hot and musty day. And so what Jesus is referring to here is he says that they are like water that has no purpose. It can neither heal nor refresh society. And here is a church, a group of Christians, people who were occupying a strategic place in society, perhaps like you, a parent of a home or a leader in your business or someone with a significant role in a school or a church. And Jesus asks them the reason, for what purpose are you where you are? You see, this is one of the great sadnesses for me with the contemporary church and with many contemporary Christians. We become so focused on what we want to be or where we would rather be that we miss the purpose of where we are. We are neither hot nor cold. And that was the problem with the church at Laodicea. And so Jesus says to them, be careful. Be careful that you do not bring healing or refreshing to those who are around you. So let me ask you the question today. When you look at your life, at your ministry, at where you are, what is your purpose? What is the purpose that Jesus has for you in that place, amongst those particular people? Is there something that you could be doing and should be doing that you haven't picked up on yet? You know, the good news is that Jesus always allows us to find our purpose in relationship with others and in relationship with Him. And if you're not sure why you are where you are, why not pray and say, Lord, would you reveal to me what I can do here so that I live a life of purpose where I am, rather than wasting it, remembering how it was in the past or hoping how it could be in the future. Remember, your future desired reality is a place that you will get to if you travel the journey that you are on now well. So that was the first thing that they were warned about. What is their purpose? And I need to ask you the question, what is your purpose? The second thing that Jesus challenges them on is he asks them the question, on what do you pride yourself? Now, this was the next mistake that the church at Laodicea made. They placed their pride in the wrong things. You see, they became proud because they were wealthy, and they became proud because they had many resources that they thought could help them. Now, humanly speaking, it could be said that there was no more prosperous area in Asia Minor. But spiritually speaking, this is the only church about which Jesus had nothing good to say. Now, can you imagine how terrible it must be to be a church, a Christian church, about which Jesus has nothing good to say? I wonder about your life and mine. When Jesus looks at us, can Jesus take pride in who we are and how we are, in how much we love Him and how much we love those that He loves? You see, this is the thing that He commends the church there to do. He commends them to put their pride in the things that truly bring life. So what were some of the things that the church at Laodicea had placed its pride in so that we can avoid them? Well, the first thing is that they placed their pride in gold. Jesus tells them that they should buy gold refined in fire. Now, wealth can do many things, but friends, there are many things that wealth cannot do. It cannot buy you happiness, it can't buy you health, it can't bring you comfort, and the one thing that wealth cannot do is it cannot truly develop a mature, loving, gracious character. And so Jesus says to them that they have to be careful that they don't try and find their joy and living in material things. In fact, he's warning them that the wealthiest persons are those who have found what it is to live by true joy, the kind of joy that cannot be taken away when a possession is stolen or broken. You see, when you find true joy in Jesus Christ, when you find what it is to be truly alive, to be blessed by a family member, a child or a parent or a friend, when you are blessed to be in a particular community, friends, those kind of gifts cannot be measured with any kind of bank account. Now let me ask you the question today, is your desire and your hope based on something that could pass away? The second thing that Jesus tells them that they must watch out for is that their pride was in their clothes, in their appearance. Now, this city was very proud of the way it looked, almost like Paris. It was a place where people had the very best garments, and this was a source of great pride. Yet Jesus says that they are ashamed because of their nakedness. Now, in the ancient world, this was much worse than what it is today. It was one of the most humiliating things to be stripped naked. Often enemies would threaten that they would take people as slaves and humiliate them by parading them naked through the streets. Go and have a look at Nahum chapter 3 verse 5. On the other hand, to be clothed in the finest clothes was a sign of great honor. Only the richest, the wealthiest, and the most important people had great clothes. Now, Jesus points out that there is very little purpose in dressing your body beautifully if your true being, what really matters, your soul, is dressed in rags. Now, we can all attest to this. How many of us have met people who look good, they wear nice clothes, but when we get to know them, we find that their true worth, their character, is not as beautiful as their outward appearance. Now, I wonder, when people look at you or look at me, what do they see? Do they see something that is truly attractive, something that has the character and the nature of Jesus? I want to encourage you today, spend time developing that character, developing love and grace and patience and fortitude and all of the characteristics of a truly loving, beautiful, Christ-like person. And I can tell you that will be a far greater reward than just spending your time to earn more money. The last thing that Jesus commends them on is not only that they should find their wealth not in material gold, but in real riches, the riches of relationships. Not only that they should find their beauty not in their clothes, but in true beauty that comes from within. But he commends them to look for true self that will heal their eyes. Now, this is the last thing that Jesus said they should pride themselves on. You see, these people had access to the best healing salve of their time. And they thought that if people were blind, they could come to them and they would put the salve on their eyes and they would truly see. But the sad thing is that this particular Christian community had become blinded to what truly mattered. They missed real vision. Even though their eyes could see, they couldn't see the truth. Now, I wonder how many of us get hoodwinked into not seeing the truth of the blessing that is around us. How many of us find ourselves so overworked or so busy or so pressured or so pressed down by problems that we cannot truly see? And we're looking to all sorts of other physical things to bring us true vision and true insight. Well, of course, Jesus says to them that they need to turn to him for true spiritual sight. And so, this is the thing that I want to challenge you with today. Where do you pride yourself in? Do you pride yourself in being a truly faithful, deep, mature, joyous from within, beautiful from within, with your true hope and blessing in Jesus Christ? Or is the emphasis in your life on physical and material things? You see, Jesus warns us to be careful of placing our hope and our worth and our pride in the things that fade away, because when they fade away, we will be disappointed. The third thing that Jesus challenges them on is on the intimacy of their relationship. And he uses the image of someone knocking at a door. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Now, remember to whom this is written. So often we apply this particular passage to people who are not Christians, and we say they must open the door when Jesus knocks on their hearts. But do you know that this was actually written to a church, to Christian believers? Now, I wonder, as you listen to me today, is there any room in your life where Jesus is not welcome? You know, my wife and I have ministered in township congregations more than once. And one of the wonderful things about living in the township is that the manse in which you live, the mission house as it's called in the township, is open to the community. My goodness, we found that we had very little privacy. We'd often come home from a meeting and find people in our kitchen or in our lounge, and they just made themselves at home because, after all, this was the mission house that belonged to the church. The one thing we had to learn from that, however, was that because this was a public space, a welcoming space, a space where everybody could find freedom, we had to be careful what it looked like. We had to make sure that it was always neat and always tidy, and that every room was presentable and welcoming to those who would enter. Now, if you look at your life, is there anything in your life which you try and hide from Jesus or hide from others? The truth is that most of us have those things. There are things in our past, maybe they're fears, maybe they're present things like bitterness that we need to repent of and say, Jesus, I want every space of my life, my heart, my mind, my body, my soul, every aspect of my being to be fully open to you so that you can enter into any place without shame. And so I want to encourage you today to take a little bit of time and think about your life, just 1 or 2 minutes during the day today, and just say, Lord Jesus, I want you to have freedom in my mind. Purify my mind. I want you to have freedom in my heart. Cleanse me from all anger and from malice and from the desire for retribution. Make me like you are, Jesus, and make my whole life a place that is open to you and to your spirit. So friends, the church at Laodicea was a sad church. Even though they should have had the greatest potential in the world, somehow they missed the boat. They had placed their pride in the wrong things. They thought that they could be blessed because they looked good on the outside. They'd forgotten their purpose. They didn't realize what Jesus had brought them there for, and they didn't have a truly open and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, folks, I want to say to you today, as you listen to me here, that if you truly want to be a blessing and find blessing, you have to develop true intimacy with Jesus. And that takes work, it takes dedication, and it takes sacrifice. And so no matter how successful or prominent or educated or wealthy you are today, I want to encourage you, be careful that you are neither hot nor cold. Make sure that you have a clear purpose. Don't just be lukewarm. Make sure that you pride yourself in the things that truly matter, the things that matter to God. And I can bet you you'll find many of those around you if you just take the time to look for them. And lastly, make sure that every part of your life is open to God completely, without any fear of judgment or negativity. Well, friends, it's been wonderful to spend these 30 minutes with you, and I want to assure you that I'm in prayer with you as you strive to love Jesus more deeply and to love those amongst whom he has placed you, the situations and people that you face each day. And so if you'd like to make contact with me, please do so. I'd love to hear from you. You can drop me an email at digitaldion@gmail.com. That's spelled DigitalDion at gmail.com. DigitalDion@gmail.com. And if you'd like to phone someone at Radio Pulpit, maybe you'd just like to talk to someone about something, maybe tonight's the night you want to gain freedom from some bitterness or hurt or brokenness or fear that holds you back, then why don't you phone someone at Radio Pulpit? The telephone number to dial there is 012-334-1200. That's the Pretoria code, 012-334-1200. 1200. Well, you've been listening to Dr. Dion Foster, and what a joy it's been to have these 30 minutes with you. And I ask you, please pray for me and my family, even as I'll be praying for you. Remember, at the end of the day, let's do everything we can with every moment we have so that Jesus is truly glorified. Have a blessed day. Goodbye.